나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on September 25, 1985 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 17, Text 25 through 28.
Are the cause of purifying the entire universe by having the water of the Ganges flowing from your lotus foot as it penetrated into the edge of the universe. You are the Trivikra, or the person who has taken the three steps. You are the person who has assumed the form of a dwara. Vikram Prakash Purvak, Dvaita Raj, you are the person who has compelled the king of the demons, Bali, to take surrender at your lotus feet. O Hare, who attracts our mind with your transcendental pastimes, all glories be unto you. Prabhupada said that whenever the avatar appears, because they're all avatars of Krishna, that actually we should worship all the avatars. Or we should worship Krishna, who possesses all the avatars within him, rather than just only the one particular. However, since today is Vamana, Dwadasi, so we will mention something directly about Lord Vamana, but we are footnoting it with this, or we are receiving it, professing it, with this understanding that all the avatars are actually coming from Krishna, for we should understand all the various avatars in a similar light, whether Lord Vamana, whether Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. So, it's appropriate to read the introductions because the whole pastime comes over about 3-4 verses. Give us the basis. Lord Vamana Dev appeared in midday. When Rama and Vamana appear at the midday. So we generally observe some upavas, fast until noon. Usually we do that on Ekadasi. Because it's, you know, you're not supposed to fast on Dwadasi, and he's appeared on Dwadasi. But today, there's a rare occurrence of Mahadwadasi coinciding with Vamana Dwadasi. Otherwise, normally in Vamana Dwadasi, we fast on the Ekadasi, we don't fast on the Dwadasi. Chapter 17. After Aditi performed the Payovrata ceremony for 12 continuous days, the Lord, who was certainly very pleased with her, appeared before her with four hands and dressed in yellow garments. As soon as Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present before her, she immediately got up, and with great ecstatic love for the Lord, she fell to the ground to offer respectful obeisances. Aditi's throat was choked because of ecstatic feelings, and her entire body trembled with devotion. Although she wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord, she could not do anything, and thus she remained silent for some time. Then, feeling solace, observing the beauty of the Lord, she offered her prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, was very pleased with her, and he agreed to become her son by incarnating as a plenary expansion. He was already pleased by Kasyapa Muni's austerities and thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. After giving his word of honor to this effect, the Lord disappeared. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi engaged in the service of Kasyapa Muni, who could see by the samadhi that the Lord was within him, and who thus placed his semen in the womb of Aditi. Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered Aditi's womb, thus he offered prayers to the Lord. One of those prayers is, Jayo Rugaya Bhagavan Urukrama Namostute Namo Brahmanya Devaya Trigunaya Namo Namaha. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, Controller of the Three Modes of Nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Namaste Prishna Garbhaya Veda Garbhaya Vedase Trinabhaya Tripishtaya Sipivishtaya Vishnave. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the chorus of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, Prishni. To you, the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. Tvamadiranta bhuvanasya madhyam anta saktim purusham yamahu kalo bhavan akshitite savarishwam sroto yatanta patitam ghoviram. O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds, and you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen into deep water, you, the Supreme Eternal Time Factor, attract everything in this universe. Purport. The time factor is sometimes described as Kala Strota, waves of time. Everything in this material world within the time factor is being carried away by waves of attraction which represent the Supreme Personality of God. Tvangavai prajanam stirajangamanam prajapatinam asisamba vishnu dvidhivaukasam deva divaschutanam parayanam nauriva majjatopsu. Translation. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods, who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Chapter 18. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with corn shell, disc, club, and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on Shravana Dwadasi when the Abhijit star had arisen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary system, outer space, and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of the Lord's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Satchidananda body, appeared as the son of Kasyapa and Aditi, both his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vamana. Vamana means dwarf. All the great sages expressed their jubilation. And with Kasyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana. At the time of Lord Vamanadeva's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. Lord Vamanadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River at the field known as Bhighu Kutcha, where Brahmanas of the Bhighu dynasty were performing yajñas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deerskin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, kamandalu, Lord Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaja Bali. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaja inquired of Lord Vamanadeva's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. Yad yad vato vanchasi tat pratichame tvamartinang viprasutanutarkaye gam kanchanangunavadham amrishtam tathanapeyam utavavipra-konyam graman samriddhans turagan gajanva ratans tatarhattamasam praticha. Translation. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. It's 22 parts. Or anything you desire. Sampraticha. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a Brahmana, told him to ask for anything he liked, Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities, and after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Sukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Sukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise, and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Sukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaja from giving land to Lord Vam. He was praising him how no one has ever been born in your family who has refused to give charity to a Brahmana who has failed to satisfy whatever they wanted. Bali Maharaja's father, Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate towards Brahmanas. Verse text 14 says, although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas, at their request he delivered to them the duration of his life. Report. Maharaj Virochana, Bali's father, was so pleased with the Brahmana community that even though he knew that those approaching him for charity were the demigods in the dress of Brahmanas, he nonetheless agreed to give it. So after saying all these praises, then he said that this could be pieces of land. Bali Maharaj said, I can give you a whole island. This one, 3 paces of land. Even if a person has the whole world, he still won't be satisfied. Sukracharya's logic, however, is that he should refuse. His logic is this. He said, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself. And it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. Sometimes rich people always say, I'm very poor, I don't have anything. See, even Shukracharya is saying that if a rich person always says he has nothing, practically he's good as dead. So, but he gives his logic here. In flattering a woman, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. When one can lie. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. After hearing the instructive advice of Sukra Acharya, Bali Maharaj became contemplative. Because it is the duty of a householder to maintain the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, Bali Maharaj thought it improper to withdraw his promise to a brahmachari. To lie or to fail to honor a promise given to a brahmachari is never proper. This includes sannyasis. The hostess here should know that. For lying is the most sinful activity. Everyone should be afraid of the sinful reactions to lying. For Mother Earth cannot even bear the weight of a sinful liar. The spreading of a kingdom or empire is temporary if there is no benefit for the general public. Such expansion has no value. Previously, all the great kings and emperors expanded their kingdoms with a regard for the welfare of the people in general. Indeed, while engaged in such activities for the benefit of the general public, eminent men sometimes even sacrifice their lives. It is said that one who is glorious in his activities is always living and never dies. Therefore, fame should be the aim of life. Even if one becomes poverty-stricken for the sake of a good reputation, that is not a loss. Bali Maharaj thought that even if this Brahmachari Vamana Deva were Lord Vishnu, if the Lord accepted his charity and then again arrested him, Bali Maharaja would not envy him. Considering all these points, Bali Maharaja finally gave in charity everything he possessed. Lord Vamanadeva then immediately extended himself into a universal body. By the mercy of Lord Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj could see that the Lord is all-pervading and that everything rests in his body. Bali Maharaja could see Vamanadeva as the Supreme Vishnu, wearing a helmet, yellow garments, the mark of Sri Vatsa, the Kastuba jewel lower garland, and ornaments decorating his entire body. The Lord gradually covered the entire surface of the world. By extending his body, he covered the entire sky. With his hands, he covered all directions, and with his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. Therefore, there was no vacant place where he could take his third footstep. So then Bali Maharaj gave his guru instruction. With the second step of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reached the topmost planet of the universe, Brahmaloka, which he diminished in beauty by the effulgence of his toenails. Thus Lord Brahma, accompanied by great sages like Marichi and the predominating deities of all the higher planets, offered humble, obese prayers and worship to the Lord. They washed the Lord's feet and worshipped him with all paraphernalia. Viksharaja Jambavan played his bugle to vibrate the glories of the Lord. When Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, the demons were very angry. Although Bali Maharaj warned them not to do so, they took up weapons against Lord Vishnu. All of them were defeated, however, by Lord Vishnu's eternal associates, and in accordance with Bali Maharaj's order, they all entered the lower planets of the universe. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, immediately arrested Bali Maharaja with the ropes of Varuna. When Bali Maharaja was thus reduced to a helpless position, Lord Vishnu asked him for the third step of land. Because Lord Vishnu appreciated Bali Maharaj's determination and integrity, when Bali Maharaj was unable to fulfill his promise, Lord Vishnu ascertained that the place for him would be the planet Sutala, which is better than the planets of heaven. Demons, they felt that Bali Maharaj, being always fixed in truthfulness, being very kind and merciful, had been cheated by Vishnu, so they decided they wanted to kill Vishnu to protect their master. The demons have moral standards, but they always are inimical to the Supreme Personality of God. O King of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. Yavat tapatyasau gobir, yavat indu sahodubi, yavat varshati parjanyas tavati bhur iyam tava. As far as the still sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Sukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. Sukracharya cursed him that because you are disobeying me, you have to go and live in hell. So Vishnu fulfilled that curse. But so he gave him the place to live, Sutala, which is better than heaven.
But so, it's
yeah. It's one of the lower planetary systems, but it's better than heaven. Bali Maharaj was extremely truthful, being unable to keep his promise. He was very much afraid, for he knew that one who has deviated from truthfulness is insignificant in the eyes of society. An exalted person can suffer the consequences of hellish life, but he is very much afraid of being defamed for deviation from the truth. In other words, he's being told that you're going to have to live in hell. He doesn't know that Sutala is actually better than heaven. He's been told that you failed to fulfill. He's not worried that, oh my God, why did... He's not at all thinking, notice how glorified Bali is. He's not thinking I was ripped off. Actually, I didn't know who he was. Instead, he's thinking, I promised 3 steps and I haven't been able to fulfill it. I lied, actually. I don't understand how great a soul this person is. Right? Any normal person, you know, if someone says, well, give me something, and then they failed, and then someone had a whole scam behind it, they probably person say it was a ripoff or something and get all angry, this, that. Bali Maharaj, even though he was entirely ripped off of his whole kingdom, he's feeling bad that I didn't fulfill my promise. Just using the colloquial slang words, just to give it a perspective. Bali Maharaj agreed with great pleasure to accept the punishment awarded him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bali Maharaja dynasty, there were many asuras who, because of their family, of their enmity toward Vishnu, had achieved a destination more exalted than that of many mystic yogis. Bali Maharaja specifically remembered the determination of Prahlad Maharaj in devotional service. Considering all these points, he decided to give his head in charity as a place for Vishnu's 3rd step. Bali Maharaja also considered how great personalities give up their family relationships and material possessions to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, they sometimes even sacrifice their lives for the satisfaction of the Lord, just to become His personal servants. Accordingly, by following in the footsteps of previous acharyas and devotees, Bali Maharaja perceived himself successful. While Bali Maharaja, having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, was offering prayers to the Lord, his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj appeared there and described how the Supreme Personality of Godhead had delivered Bali Maharaja by taking his possessions in a tricky way. While Prahlad Maharaj was present, Lord Brahma and Bali's wife, Vindhyavali, described the supremacy of the Lord. Since Bali Maharaj had given everything to the Lord, they prayed for the Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. Then, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Lord offered his disc to protect Bali Maharaja and promised to remain with him. Shri Bali Ruvacha Yadyutama Sloka Bhavan Mameritam Vacho vyalikam suravarya manyate karom yaritang tanna bhavet pralambhanam padam tritiyam kuru shirshni me nijam. Translation. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please therefore place your third lotus footstep on my head. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Since your Lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Many demons who were continuously inimical toward you finally achieved the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your Lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes. And consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Glorifies Prahlad. What is the use of the material body which automatically leaves its owner at the end of life? And what is the use of all one's family members who are actually plunderers, taking away money that is useful for the service of the Lord and spiritual opulence? What is the use of a wife? She is only the source of increasing material conditions. And what is the use of family, home, country, and community? Attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's lifetime. So he was glorifying how he was very fortunate to be forced to get the shelter of Lord Vishnu. And the Lord said that he had become the king of heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Savarni. Until that time, he's given him a place which is unobtainable even by the demigods. So live in a planet Sutala, which was made by Vishvakarma according to my order. It is specially protected by me. It is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go live there peacefully. Even the demigods have to worry about the demons attacking, but this place cannot be attacked, protected by Vishnu. In other words, they're equal to heaven, but the advantage is that you can't be disturbed by any outward calamity, neither any mental or bodily miseries. So although it's basically on a similar level as heavenly planet, in terms of its opulence on one level, and there's additional benefits are there which make it even better. But, O Bali, Indrasena, now you may go live on the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives, all good fortune unto you. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. The demons have to also are normally pretty unruly. They have to fall in too, internally. Well, great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects, along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Because there you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Dhanavas will immediately be vanquished. The great soul Bali Maharaj experienced that the highest gain in life is to attain devotional service under the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet in full surrender. Being fixed in this conclusion, his heart full of ecstatic devotion, his eyes full of tears, he offered obeisances to the personality of Godhead and then with his associates entered the planet known as Sutala. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfied the desire of Aditi and reinstalled Lord Indra. Prahlad Maharaj, being aware of Bali's release from arrest, then described the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj praised the Lord for creating the material world, for being equal to everyone, and for being extremely liberal to the devotees, just like a desire tree. Someone wants to know, some people say, why does the Lord create the material world? So, to refer to these prayers where Prahlad praised the Lord for creating the material world. Indeed, Prahlad Maharaj said that the Lord is kind not only to his devotees, but also to the demons. In this way, he described the unlimited causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then with folded hands, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the Lord. And after circumambling the Lord, he also entered the planet Sutala in accordance with the Lord's order. The Lord then ordered Sukracharya to describe Bali Maharaj's faults and discrepancies in executing the sacrificial ceremony. Sukracharya became free from fruitive actions by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's a very important verse there that says that anything you do along with chanting the holy name, even if it's otherwise imperfect, any religious principle, it becomes perfect by chanting the holy name. The Sukracharya became free and he explained how chanting can diminish all the faults of the conditioned soul. He then completed Bali Maharaja's sacrificial ceremony. All the great saintly persons accepted Lord Vamanadeva as the benefactor of Lord Indra because he had returned Indra to his heavenly planet. They accepted the Supreme Person of Godhead as the maintainer of all the affairs of the universe. Being very happy, Indra along with associates placed Vamanadeva before him and re-entered the heavenly planet in their airplane. Having seen the wonderful activities of Lord Vishnu in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaja, all the demigods, saintly Pradas, Bhutas, and Siddhas glorified the Lord again and again. The chapter concludes by saying that the most auspicious function of the conditioned soul is to chant and hear about the glorious activities of Lord Vishnu.
Yaidam deva devasya harirad bhuta karmana avataranu charitam shringvam yati param gatim.
If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system or even brought back home, back to Godhead.
Kriyamani karmani dam daire pitriye tha manushe yatra yatra nukirtye tha.
Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitri Loka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious.
Om Tat Sat.
Prabhupada said there are three kinds of ceremonies. Specifically, ceremonies to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the demigods, those performed for social celebrations like marriages and birthdays, and those meant to please the forefathers like the Shraddha ceremony. In all these ceremonies, large amounts of money are spent for various activities. But here it is suggested that if along with this there is a recitation of the wonderful activities of Vamanadeva, certainly the ceremony will be carried out successfully and will be free of all discrepancies.
Hare Krishna.
Vamanadeva ki
jai.
Vikrama ki
jai.
Bhuktivani.
Any questions? Yeah? A day is 23 hours and some minutes, according to the lunar calculation. And for the Titi,
So Ekadasi is the Titi, 11th day of the lunar calendar, lunar cycle. So for a day to be considered the 11th day, it has to fall within the sunrise. So in Ekadasi, if the Ekadasi begins after Brahma Muhurta, then it's considered to be a weak Ekadasi. And therefore, Ekadasi is observed on the next day. In other words, we are 24 hours in the lunar calendar and 23 hours and some minutes in the lunar calendar. So sometimes it happens that the sun rises on the 10th day of the lunar calendar. After a few minutes, the 11th begins. The entire 11th is contained within the solar day ends, and the sun the next day rises on the 12th. Follow? It only happens occasionally. When that happens, the Ekadasi effectively disappears. You see sometimes in the calendar, it says the 8th day or the 10th, sometimes Ram Navami, the day after is the Ekadasi. How is it possible? When the day after is supposed to be, Navami means the 9th, the day after is the 10th. Well, that doesn't happen so much, but a lot of, sometimes it does happen that Krishna Janmashtami is the 8th, Prabhupada Priya on the 9th, Titi. The day after that sometimes is Ekadasi. Sometimes the 10th disappears. Sometimes the whole day like that will just happen to fit in. So technically speaking, whatever, when the sun rises, the day begins, not midnight, according to the Vedic astrological calculation. So when the sun rises, the particular Titi that it falls on, that's the, it's like a, they work it out. So they see that's the day it is. In other words, if it's even 10 minutes left in the 10th kiti, when the sun rises, it'll be called dasami. Because technically the day began in that kiti. Kiti is the lunar, means that that's the word for lunar day. Lunar day. Day by lunar calculation. According, I guess, to the full moon. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how many. There's a cycle that starts from one full moon to the next full moon. They divide that into 28 or 30, whatever. They divide, they have a, yeah, 30. They divide it according. I can't give a whole astrological lesson. That's not our purpose. I'm just giving you the gist of it. You know, it's a whole detail. There's like when an Ekadasi begins, and this time the almanac described that the Ekadasi began when the sun was already at the Arunadwaya stage. That means it was already reddish in the sky. So as such, Ekadasis have to begin from before Brahma Muhurta, according to our standards. So because it was a weak Ekadasi, it began too late. Therefore, it's observed the next day, and it becomes a Mahadwadasi, that you observe Ekadasi on that next day. So there's something like 3 or 5 or 7, I forget, and there's like so many situations astrologically which happen. If any of those situations happen, then Ekadasi is not considered to be Ekadasi. I mean, it's not considered to be the fast day. The next day is observed as the fast day and it becomes a Mahadwadasi.
Is Ekadasi correct, or is this the name given because of the sequence of the
day? Technically, either because the sun rose on that day in the Titi, or the lunar calendar day of the 12th day, 12th cycle of the lunar calendar. Therefore, it's called Dwadasi. But because, for all practical purposes, somehow the Ekadasi was passed up. Therefore, it's observed the next day on the Dwadasi, and that Dwadasi becomes a Mahadwadasi. It's doing the function of the Ekadasi. So for all practical purposes, Mahadwadasi means you observe Ekadasi. The bottom line, Mahadwadasi means that day you observe Ekadasi. Vamana Dwadasi is not always a it's rarely a Mahadwadasi. It's a very rare. Normally, Vamana Dwadasi is a normal Dwadasi. And there's no fasting in a normal Dwadasi. It's feasting. That's why if you miss an Ekadasi, you don't fast the next day, you fast the day after. It's a regular principle. One must fast on a Dwadasi. Must feast on a Dwadasi. Just like you have to fast on Ekadasi, you have to feast on Dwadasi. Today is Mahadwadasi. That means both fasting and feasting.